So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Father, we just ask you to open our ears. We ask you to speak to us today. Lord, I ask for your anointing to be upon me. Lord, I pray that my words today would not be my words, but they would be your words. And I pray, God, that you would tailor make this message for each person in this place. Speak to us in a real way, in a relevant way. Speak to us in an applicable way for the season that we're facing right now. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, so this church, the Church of Laodicea, is known as the lukewarm church. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Lukewarm, they're not hot or they're not cold. They're just in the lukewarm middle. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But also what I think we need to know is this is also the deceived church. This church is absolutely deceived because Jesus said to them, you think that you are rich. You say that you are rich. You say that you have need of nothing. You say you've got it all going on. This church was deceived. Their mind was clouded with prosperity. Their mind was clouded with prosperity. I have said this for many years, and I still believe it with all of my heart. Prosperity has done more damage to the kingdom of God than the devil ever has. Because what happens to people like you and I, we are broke, we are busted, we are disgusted, we are full of depression, our relationships are on edge, we have tried everything to fix our life, and finally, in our broken state, we turn to Christ. He picks us up out of the miry clay, sets our feet on the rock to stay. Much like that song we just sang, he delivers us from a life of bondage like the Israelites, and then you know what we do? We get fat and sassy and prosperous. But we live in a good life, boy, and then we quit digging in, and we quit reading, and we quit praying, and we quit standing for the word of the Lord. Prosperity has clouded their minds. They said, we got it all, and Jesus said, no, really, you're miserable, you're poor, you're naked, and you are blind. And Jesus says this, here's what something I don't think we talk about often enough in church. Jesus says, you know what? If you don't repent, I'm going to discipline you, and I'm going to correct you. I'm going to discipline you and I'm going to correct you. We live in a world that we don't like discipline. Can I hear an amen? We can't even discipline our children anymore. Come on, somebody. We have a whole nation. Oh, no, don't you dare discipline them. No, don't you dare break their spirit. Don't bust their butts. Just put them in time out and threaten them a whole bunch. And then guess what? You'll raise up a generation of people that don't have any discipline at all. They've never been corrected about anything. And Jesus says, you know what? Correction equals discipline and love. Did you ever get a whipping when you were a kid and your dad said, I'm doing this because I love you? Come on, somebody. Maybe y'all didn't get whipped like I did. That was all. I was like, yeah, sure you love me, Dad. But here's the deal. Whether we won't admit it or not, we need correction. Look, do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor right quick. Say, hey, neighbor, you need some correction in your life. Turn to you like you snowflakes done got offended, didn't you? So we need that. We need discipline and we need correction because, listen, we're better than we've ever been, but none of us are always right. None of us get it right all the time, and we need discipline and we need correction from wise counsel in our life, from leaders in our life, and most especially from God. Actually, I believe this. Deep down, we all have this desire for correction and discipline. We want to be. So when Jennifer and I lived in Guthrie, there was a husband and wife that lived there. And the wife, she had been divorced. She was in a very abusive relationship. She had two young boys. And the father abused her and abused her little boys. And so they had divorced, and she remarried a new guy. And because she was hurt and because of her previous experience, she said to her new husband, don't you dare touch my kids. Don't you dare discipline. Like, you can't whip my kids' butts at all. And so just tell you honestly, these kids were like out of control. Maybe the worst behaved boys I have ever been around in my life. So the stepdad says to us cowboys, hey, I know they don't mind, but like I can't do nothing or I'll get in trouble when I get home. But if y'all want to, discipline them all you want to. I said, I will take that to heart, baby. And I'm telling you, I pulled my belt off. I whipped them kids with my belt. I shapped them kids. I got onto them kids all the time. And here's the funny thing. When we would all meet at the bunkhouse every morning, We would meet at the bunkhouse every morning. When the stepdad would pull up with them two boys, they would open the door, and guess who the first person they ran to and who they wanted to be around all day long? It was me, because deep down, maybe our pride won't let us be corrected. Maybe our pride says you can't discipline me, but deep down, we know when we're not doing right, and we need someone that will love us enough to come along and discipline and correct us. That's what God will do. God, please come and discipline me. God, please come and discipline and correct us if we are out of line. So Jesus says this to this church of Laodicea. They're lukewarm. What does that mean? That means they had turned to religion rather than relationship. That means they had turned to religion rather than relationship. You and I have got to understand and grasp how important relationships are, and how relationships will bring true joy to our life, and how relationship with God will keep us red hot with Jesus Christ in our walk with the Lord. Because see, Jesus said, I love what he said. It spoke to me, y'all. He said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking and I'm crying, let me come in. And you know what he said? I just want to come in. You know what he wants to do? Not line you out. He doesn't want to come in and give you a bunch of rules. He doesn't want to come in and beat you over the head and say, this is where you're doing it wrong. Jesus said, I just want to come into your life and sit down at the table with you and eat a meal the way friends would. Jesus just wants that relationship. And lukewarm followers of Christ have moved away from just having an authentic relationship with Jesus. That's the problem. That's what it is. The bottom line is Jesus is calling us to repentance. Quit trusting in prosperity. Quit trying to live a religious life. And he's calling us back to not be lukewarm. Let's talk about being lukewarm a little bit. Like, what does that mean? Like, meh. You ever type in meh in your phone? You like, you know, emojis, you know what I'm saying? Meh. It's this little face with two lines, straight nose, straight mouth. Not happy, not sad, just meh. Just indifferent. Like, you know what I mean? It really doesn't make that much difference. There's no zeal. There's no enthusiasm. There is no passion. It's just indifferent. It doesn't matter. That's what being lukewarm is. Just meh. Like, you know, I mean, some synonyms of lukewarm are dull, mild, spiritless, moderate. If you want to be labeled dull, if you want to be labeled mild, if you want to be labeled moderate, you're probably coming to the wrong church. Just saying, okay? Lukewarm, meh, double-minded. Lukewarm is in the middle. Not hot, not hot, not cold, just in the middle. It's a dangerous place to better be convicted, however, whatever that means to you. But Scripture says if you're not hot or you're not cold, Jesus said you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. Like, I can't do that. It's in the middle. We were never created to be in the middle. And here's the problem with our culture. We want to be in the middle right now in America. You can be offended. You can be mad. It's absolutely the truth. We want to stand with one side that's hot and one side that's cold, and we want to meet and be friends with everybody on the right, on the left, and in the middle. We just don't want to cause any problems. We don't want to offend anybody. We just want to be silent, quiet, and live our little Christian life and show up at church. We want to live in the middle. We're double-minded. God, I've been preaching for a lot of years, and a lot of people want to be hot and look hot on Sunday morning. And then they're going to be really cold on Monday when they're hanging out with the Cowboys or their buddies or somebody's looking at so-and-so on porno and doing this. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's created an unstable environment in our churches and an unstable environment in our lives, because James 1:8 discusses this. It says their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. If we don't make our minds up, listen to me. Look. Let me make a statement to you. If you are lukewarm, it is better. Listen, you listen to me. Say a good amen. It's better for you just to step over here and be cold than it is to be lukewarm. It's better for you just to be cold than to be lukewarm. If you're lukewarm in the middle, you're going to be unstable in everything that you do. See, in our country, there was a civil war at one time. It was a very ugly war. Our nation was divided. Our nation was divided. Nations were divided. Towns were divided, families were divided, houses were divided. The North against the South, The North wore their blue uniforms. They were the Blue Bellies, and they stood. They were North. And then the South wore gray. They wore gray uniforms. They were the Confederate. There was a division in this world. And I heard a story one time about this one guy that couldn't make his mind up which side he wanted to be on. He kind of thought the North was good for a few things and maybe the South was for another thing, and he was in the middle. He didn't know which way to go. So you know what he did? He put on a blue Yankee blouse, and then he put on some gray Confederate breeches. Blue and gray, divided. Couldn't make his mind up. They found him dead. They found him dead, and guess what? He was shot with Yankee bullets and with Confederate bullets. Both sides didn't know where he stood, and so both sides shot him and killed him. I am so afraid that so many of us in the world today are standing with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. I want us to talk about four characteristics. You got to listen to the Spirit of God. You have to decide yourself. Four characteristics of a lukewarm Christian. Number one, the first thing, lukewarm Christians don't really want to be saved from their sin. They just want to be saved from the penalty of their sin. They want to have their cake and eat it too. I don't really want to be saved. I kind of like my sin, and I kind of want to keep living my life of sin, and I kind of want to keep doing all this, but I want my penalty to be forgiven, and I want to live as a child of God and receive all the greatest blessings of God. It's a pandemic in our world. Our churches are full of them. They want to play, but they never want to put any effort into getting better. You know what? You know what is proof of that? This participation trophy culture that we live in. Join the team and you can suck, but we're going to give you a trophy and a medal at the end of the year and celebrate how good you are. It doesn't matter if there's other kids that have worked their guts out and stayed up late and lifted weights and become better than you. We just want everybody to participate. That's what a lukewarm Christian does. They join the church. They join the team of Jesus Christ, but they never, ever want to give up their sin. They just want to be forgiven of their sins. Romans chapter 6, 12 through 14. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of grace. How many of you thank God for the grace of God? Say yes today. If God has given you grace, if God has given me grace, if God has forgiven us, if God has delivered us, if God has taken us out of a life of bondage and led us to the promised land, why in the world would we want to toy around and jack around with the very sin that took us down to the bottom in the beginning? Listen to me. The Bible says the wages of sin are death. And a Christian that is not lukewarm realizes that their sin and their personal choices in their previous life is what took them down a long, dark, and a windy road, and they also realize that Jesus gave them grace and pulled them out of that lifestyle and made them a new creation. Christians that are on fire from God, they run away from their sin. They run away from it. It just is what it is. Christians that are lukewarm, they don't want to be saved from their sin. They just want to be saved from the penalty of sin. The next thing is this. Christians that are lukewarm are scared to death to speak the truth. Scared to death, because how many of you know, truth always clashes with fallacy. Truth is light. Light always clashes with darkness. And you know what? When we're lukewarm, we don't want to clash with anybody. We just stand right here in the middle and not speak the truth. You know, a current term for a person in a church that doesn't want to speak the truth is this: it's a woke church. They go woke. Play in the middle. Play right in the very middle. They live in a gray area because you don't want to offend others, and you don't want to become, you want to be everybody's friend. Yeah, I'm preaching to you today. Y'all may not say amen, but it's okay because you know what I'm talking about right now. We want to live in the middle. If I speak truth, then I'll offend this side. And if I speak truth, then I'll offend this side. So I'll just stay in the middle and play this nice, cute little old game. Let me give you an example. I have someone in my family that has raised a couple of just straight running liberal kids. And those kids, they're pro-choice. they say, oh, it's okay for gay people to be married. Oh, it's okay for transgenderism. And I know those are terms that a woke church doesn't want to talk about. But a church that wants to speak the truth realizes those are some problems in our world today, and we have to speak the truth about them. I'm not judging any people. I'm not judging gay people. I'm not judging transgender people. I'm not judging people that have had abortions. I love them like Christ loved me while I was a sinner. Christ loved me, and I love them as well. But I'm telling you, the truth is, all that stuff is anti-biblical and anti-scripture. And we're afraid to talk about it. We don't want to say nothing about it. But I have this family member raised a couple liberal kids. They're about all of that stuff. And when any of those issues and those topics are brought up, abortion, gay marriage, transitioning, transgender, this family member of mine goes, well, I'm just not going to talk about that. I'm not going to choose. I'm scared to death to talk about truth, and we never ever chose a side. It would create a world with absolute chaos in it. Lukewarm Christians are scared to speak truth, and they will not. They'll just avoid all those situations because we want everybody to like us. Can we be real, y'all? Watch this. There's a warning from Jesus. These are Jesus' words. Luke 6:26. Woe unto you when all people speak well of you. Woe unto you that everybody likes. Woe unto you that everybody speaks well of. That just, look at me, look. It don't matter how well you perform. It don't matter how much you speak out on truth. It doesn't matter how quiet you are. Not everybody is going to like you. And you got to be okay with that. You got to understand that. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Not everybody's going to like you. Can I tell you that there's some people in my life, they joke and they tease me about like Cochran. Like everybody don't like you. I'm like, yeah, and you know what? I'm good with that. It make me no difference. We have to speak truth. Truth hurts sometimes. See, watch this one. Galatians 4:16. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? This was Paul back in biblical times. He said, am I now your enemy because I've simply spoken the truth to you? Is that not a picture of our world today? If you and I speak truth according to the word of God, the liberal and the left world says, you know what? You're our enemies. We are enemies and we are at odds with the church. We're at odds with the Christians because y'all speak truth and now we can't even be friends. It's the dumbest lie ever, and it's a trick of manipulation that the enemy uses to get us to be silenced on the truth. We Christians know the truth. We love the truth, and we know this. We know that John 8:32 says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's why we live in the truth. We don't want to live a life of bondage. Christians that are lukewarm, they want to be saved from their sin. They want to be saved from the penalty of their sin. They're scared to speak the truth. And then here's what else they do. Lukewarm Christians pick and choose their beliefs based on their current circumstances. Like, I'm going to believe this scripture. I'm going to believe this scripture right now, but I'm not going to believe this scripture right now because this scripture right now doesn't fit into the life that I'm trying to live right now. So here's an example. Let's just be real, okay? There's a lot of people now, this stuff that's gone on in the world, this gay thing, this gay sin. And so I know people, I know families, my God, they've been standing on the word of God their whole life, and all of a sudden they got somebody in their life and in their family that comes out of the closet and says, hey, I'm gay. And now they go, oh, well, wait a minute. We don't believe this scripture over here. That's okay to be gay. See, now it might be convenient for your daughter to have an abortion, so you wouldn't have to. So now you pick and choose what you believe all the time, back and forth. There's no moral compass that way. To ignore the scripture, to discredit one scripture, look at me, look. To discredit one scripture is to discredit all the scriptures. We can never ever pick and choose. That does not work at all. Lukewarm Christians, rather than fitting into the boundaries of the word of God, they want to take the word of God and fit it into their lifestyle. The word of God is here. And you and I, as sons and daughters of God, we have to fit our life into the boundaries and the standards according to the word of God. Doesn't matter what culture says. Doesn't matter what society says. Doesn't matter what government says. The word of God. And woke Christians, lukewarm, they want to grab it, put some of it here, throw some of it away, and do all this. And we have to understand 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, everybody say all. All scripture is inspired by God. And it's useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. The word of God. It's all inspired by God. I've quoted this scripture right here on a regular basis. Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands forever. The Word of God stands forever. The Word of God stands forever. Listen to me. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to move on. But here's the deal. The Word of God has been our... The Word of God. It defines marriage. It defines family. It defines every... It's laid it all out. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The Ten Commandments. There has been a steady, constant, defining moral compass in our nation for years and years and years. And you know what we're trying to do now? We're trying to take that moral compass away. Listen, we cannot take... There always has to be a steady moral compass. Because if not... This generation will say, here are our standards. And then another generation will come along and say, no, but we believe this. And another generation will say, we believe this. And if our moral compass and our moral standards are always going up and down and they're shifting and they're changing, we wouldn't even know how to live a life of morality, of character, and virtue. There has to be something that is steady. There has to be something that the grass withers and the flower fades. There has to be something that stands forever. And if we want to live according to the Word of God is good for my generation. It's good for my parents' generation. It's going to be good for my kids' generation. The Word of God is our moral compass. It's got to be. It's got to be for a nation to survive and a people to survive. Last point is this. Lukewarm Christians always play it safe. They just play it safe. They just play it safe. They live a life with no risk. They just have a safe, cute, comfortable little I'll show up at church attendance kind of life. They just kind of play it safe. Like you don't live your faith, you don't speak your faith, you don't step out on faith, you don't operate in faith, you're not living for the kingdom of God. You're just happy to be saved and you come to church and play it safe. Safe. I mean, listen to this. God did not send his son Jesus Christ to die a miserable death on a cross so that you and I could just be safe the rest of our lives. Never, ever. Look at what Paul writes about this guy. Paul in Philippians writes about this guy named Epaphroditus. I don't know him. You don't know him. He's unheard of. But here's what Paul says as he's writing to the church of Philippi. He says, Epaphroditus, for he risked his life for the work of Jesus Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. He goes, this guy risked his life. This guy didn't play it safe. This guy, he was fired up. He gave it all. Dear God, I want to be the kind of guy, and I want my kids to be the kind of kids, and I want this church to be the kind of church that doesn't get comfortable and doesn't go woke and doesn't slip into a lukewarm state, that we would be people that say we will risk our lives and give everything we've got for the work of the kingdom of God. I love this scripture. It's an Old Testament scripture, and I'm done. It tells a story of these lepers. Lepers, they're cast out of society. They got to live off out in the country. Can't come close to anybody else. There's a famine in the land. Everybody's dying, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. Do something. If we go to that city, the famine is in the city, and we're going to die over there in the city. But if we sit here, we're going to die too. So now come, let us go over to that other camp of the Syrians. And if they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we're going to die. So they're like, well, could die. But you know what? We could live too. So let's do something. Let's risk what we've got. Let's don't stay where we are. Let's don't keep playing the game. Let's don't just be meh. Let's don't be moderate. Let's just don't be, let's go. Let's risk. Let's give it what we've got. Can I tell you that a life of risk, a life of going, a life of reaching out, a life of striving is a life that will bring some satisfaction and some fulfillment to your life. And if you fail, you still fail with something inside of you saying, I tried and I gave it all I got and I didn't sit still and I didn't go woke and I didn't play it lukewarm. I gave it everything I got and God always sees our efforts, and God always rewards our efforts. Conrad and worship team, come help me close, please. Here's the deal, y'all. A lukewarm life is a pitiful life. Pitiful. It sucks. Dull. Moderate. It's dangerous. You know what? Here's what. My kid's going to bury me someday. And if them boys stand around me and kick a little dirt and me down in that hole, they go, Dad sure was safe. He sure was sweet old dad. Never did nothing. Man, he's a moderate. Bless his old heart. He never did make nobody mad. Never did upset nobody. I am coming back to haunt my boys the rest of their life. I hope when they kick me off in that hole, they say, you know what? He is a little aggressive sometimes, and he is a little wild sometimes, but you know what? By God, he gave it all he got. He wasn't lukewarm. You never had to worry about where he stood. He stood on the truth, and he gave everything, and he didn't try to be friends with everybody. He stood for what he knew had saved his life. He stood. I hope they kick some dirt. Will said, I'm going to have to put you in a 7-foot hole, because 6-foot hole, you bust out of a 6-foot hole. Come on, y'all. Moderate sucks. You ever want to be moderate anything? Moderate cowboy, moderate mother, middle of the road farmer, be a carpenter that sucks and gets half your nails driven right. I mean, you want to suck at the guitar? Moderate, you know. Come on. You want your kid to get a participation trophy and never work at nothing and then raise him up so he'll be entitled and think everything he enters into or steps into he ought to be rewarded for? It's just dangerous, y'all, and I ain't judging you. I mean, I screw it up sometimes, too, but the fact of the matter is we got to have it on our mind. This lukewarm stuff is dangerous. Dangerous. Because can I have 2 more minutes? You and I, we're Jesus' representative to the world. And when people look at a lukewarm church, when they look at a lukewarm Christian, I'll throw the MFGD, go get drunk, spend the night with somebody else all the time, fight everybody, cheat on my income tax, fill a horse full of Brook Butte and screw everybody over the country. But I'll show up at church on Sunday morning. Praise God. What's that say to people that don't know Jesus? You got to be committed to nothing. Screw everybody over, show up at church, praise God, you're good, man. Really? College kids? Can I just say to you, college kids? Y'all got the Bethel swag and the Bethel cap and you got the cross necklace on. And you know what? You're coming to church and you're inviting people to church and I'm glad you are. But then you're going partying with them and sleeping around every weekend. Like, what message are you sending? You're telling them that the Bible means nothing to you. It's lukewarm. Like, we got to make our mind up, y'all. Be hot or be cold, but don't be in the middle. Middle. It's unstable there. Christ is calling us to repentance. He's knocking at our door, and I'm done. He's knocking at our door. You know what he wants today? To come sit down with you. Have a conversation. Because Jesus knows that conversation is what will fuel, that relationship is what will fuel your fire. Do you remember, look at me, look. You remember when you first got saved? How on fire you were. How Jesus was knocking at your life. For some of you, it was a year ago. For some of you, it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But the first time you heard Jesus knocking and you invited him in, man, you were messed up, jacked up, and all of a sudden, boom, you were forgiven. You were cleansed. All the old was passed away. You were a new creation. You had joy unspeakable, peace that passes all understanding. And at that time, you couldn't quote one single scripture. You didn't have no kind of church attendance. You certainly didn't know the words to the song at church. You didn't know how to raise your hands in worship. You knew nothing other than, I have a relationship with a Savior that has redeemed me and changed my life forever, has affected my eternal destination, and that relationship brought joy. You know what happens over the years that will move us to lukewarm? We quit focusing on that relationship, and we start adding religion, and we start adding rules, and we start following this, and we make it about ourselves and not about Him. And I'm telling you, what will move us from lukewarm to being hot is just invite Jesus in, sit down at the table with Him, and commune with Him as a friend. It'll set you on fire. We don't want to be lukewarm. And Lord, I pray against anybody being condemned today. If someone has slipped off into a lukewarm state, don't condemn them, but convict them, Lord. Move them back. Convict them to make some decisions to move back. Speak to us about running away from the sin that so easily entangles us. Speak to us about standing on the truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Speak to us today, God, about no longer just playing it safe. Speak to us, God. move us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, y'all.